And the first one was obedience. And we said that obedience was the start, the path to God's blessing. You cannot get blessed by God if you are working contrary to His will. Just forget it. Anyone remember what week two was? Humility, the place of God's blessing. The Bible says that the proud he what? Resists. But he will exalt those who are abased. So we talked about how he will exalt you if you're humble, if you are meek about going about God's business. That's when you can get blessed. It's the place of God's blessing. And then last week, anyone remember? Knowledge. Understanding God's blessing. The Bible says that my people perish for what? Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. If you don't understand the laws of God, you're not going to be able to use them, right? You know, we perceive the natural laws. We know not to go and jump off of a bridge because there's a law called gravity. And it says what goes up must come down. So we know how to use gravity. We've been able to tame lots of the nature's forces that man can perceive. But what man has not perceived is that there are spiritual laws that are an order of magnitude even more powerful. And those are the ones that really give us not just the natural blessings, but the spiritual blessings. Can anyone remember some of the laws we went over last week? Louder. Reaping and sowing. That's a law that's both natural and spiritual. Reaping and sowing. Any other ones that we talked about? All right, go listen to the tape. Amen. Well, this is going to be our last week on this because next week I want to do a special teaching to prepare for February, which is going to be our month of consecration. The Bible says, draw near to me, and I will what? Draw near to you. So next week we're going to be preparing. I think that's the last Sunday in January, and February is going to be our theme will be consecration, drawing near to God. In such a time as this, when the world is going crazy, I want to be nearer to God. I want to be closer to God. I want to make sure that I'm walking in His will. Because the Bible says that perilous times shall come. And in my opinion, perilous times have come. Men's hearts are failing them for fear. You know, you just listen to the news and ISIS and bombings and beheadings and strange weather, record snowfall since they've been keeping records. Last year was record heat since they've been keeping records. Just go to Matthew 25 or Luke 24 and see that this was all foretold, that there would be earthquakes in diverse places. But this is, Bible says this is just the beginning. So now is when I want to draw closer to the Lord. I want to be like Elisha. I'm going to make sure that I'm not going to let Elijah out of my sight because I know he's going to be taken up. And he's promised that I'm going to get the double portion if I see him. This is the time to draw closer to the Lord, not further away. So we will be starting our new theme, really, I guess, from next week. But this week, to close out our theme on blessing, I wanted to utilize using what God has blessed you with. The Bible said when he ascended, he gave what? Gifts. You've got at least one gift. You've got at least one spiritual gift. If you're filled with the Spirit, you've got at least one. And a lot of you got more than that. And we want to make sure that we are using our gifts. And most of us don't even think about some of the gifts. And I'm not really going to cover spiritual gifts today. But just utilizing our blessing, what God has given us. And you may think, well, I don't have any money to give people. Can you give thanks? No matter what situation you're in, you can give thanks. Paul said, in whatever situation I find myself, I've learned. It's a learning process. You might not be content when you find yourself in a mess and all kinds of things, but Paul has learned. He said, I've learned. That means he went through something and realized he didn't die. God delivered him. He survived. He came out stronger. So we all have to go through this process where we learn to be content. If you trust God, if you believe there's a Savior, if you believe He loves you, you can learn to be content. Amen. So we're going to go into utilizing God's blessing. And if I had a focus lesson, scripture, it'd be Luke 6, verse 38. And all it says is, give, and it shall be given unto you. That's a spiritual law. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. I like Chinese food. It's my heritage. My grandfather's Chinese. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but. Now, there's a certain Chinese restaurant that I go to that they fulfill this scripture. I watch them fill up the rice, and they stuff as much in there as they can. They have to push it down to shut that. You know, that's the kind of place I want to go to. Press down, shaken together. You like to go to restaurants where it's not like a twig and a little cube. You know, those fancy restaurants where they charge you $50 and you look at it, and if you take three or four forkfuls, it's finished. No, I want to go to a place that is full, where I have to push away the plate, where I have to call for a box. Do you understand that's how God wants to deal with you? He wants to give you full, pressed down, running over, that you can't even handle it. Amen. We just do not understand how to utilize what God really wants to give us. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. I have proven this so many times. So many times I have done something sacrificially, and God has never failed to come through. Never, 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 never. Never. I'm not going to go all over my testimonies again of all the miracles he has done. Amen. Shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that he meet with, it shall be measured to you. You know why some people don't get blessed? Because they can't open their hand to help others. All they can do is have a fist. See, what God wants you to be is not like a lake, a stagnant water. The Bible always speaks about living water. You know why? That means it's moving. It's a flow. That's how God's blessing should be in your life. You should be a channel. You should be a channel. It should flow. I don't have a lot of money. A lot of money passes through me, but I don't keep a lot of money because I want to be a flow. Amen. As I told you, I was just so shocked, and I'm sorry to use myself, but I can't use you as an example. I'm going to have to use myself. I was so shocked when I went into work about a month or so ago, and my boss said, well, we're giving you a raise. I was so shocked because in my mind, I certainly did not deserve a raise. If anything, I think I deserved a pay cut compared to what I know I should be doing. But you see, my focus is not on my secular job. My focus is on this job, on doing the work. So, but you see what happened? Because I was doing God's work, he somehow let them look at me favorably and gave me a bigger raise than the first year when I've done even less. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together. You know, as you know, we've been trying to repair our furnace and all of that, and this week, the guy came up and found a leak over there, dug up that floor, fixed that, then put the pressure, and then another leak. And so they had to dig up over here, fix that. And then, you know, it was like Job, the day when the servants came with one thing after another. And then he said, well, the furnace over there has gone out. So he said, well, I said, but that's only, you know, we only had that about 3 years. And he said, well, here's the good news. It's still under warranty. So thank you, Jesus. Amen. See, I've learned in whatever situation to be content because God has got your back. If you're a child of the King, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You can still have joy because you know you're going to get through this. Amen. So my question to you is, since we're talking about utilizing blessing, how do we bless? No wrong answers. How do we bless others? Okay, I heard giving time, giving love, anything else. How can we bless others? Philip? True, and I have a problem. I really don't like receiving stuff, so you have to pray for me. Amen. Well, let's look at this. And Proverbs 11:24, and I've put it in a modern translation. It says, it's possible to give away and then become richer. By watering others, we water ourselves. Amen. That's in the Living Bible translation. Look it up in the King James. Well, how one way we can bless other people is very simple. We can pray for them. How hard is that? Actually, for me, it's very hard because I'm a very selfish person. And when I pray, I can think of all the things that I need. I have to really force myself to pray for other people. I'm just confessing. Because I can think of a long list of things that, Lord, I need this. I need you to fix. And mostly they're not things I need. I need God to fix some things in me. So I tend to want to pray for myself. But, you know, we should be able to bless others by doing what? Praying for them. That's so simple that nobody has an excuse for not being able to bless someone. You say, well, I can't help them financially. Well, can you pray? Can you call out their name? Can you give them a call and say, you were on my mind? Every now and then that happens. Someone from Timbuktu will text me and say, you were on my mind, I'm praying for you. And I say, thank you, Jesus. That encourages me. That wouldn't that be great if someone just called you up and say, I don't know what you're going through, but the Lord just wanted me to pray for you. Wouldn't that bless you? How simple is that? That is giving of your time and love because it takes something to pray for someone. Another thing that we can do to bless someone is encouragement, right? You may not pray for them, but you can just see them. I'm going to call your name. I hope you don't mind. So Thursday night, I was in a hurry, and they were having choir practice, and I had a whole bunch of things on my mind, and we were having our first men's ministry, thanks to Brother Darrow, but I had to go pick up Brian, and I was in a hurry, and I realized that my car coolant light had been on a long time, and I hadn't realized what it was telling me. I just thought it was telling me it was cold outside, but it was really telling me, it was really telling me, this little thermometer, red thermometer, was that my coolant was low. So I was in a hurry, and I had a whole bunch of things on my mind, so I went and picked up Brian, and I was trying to get back before 7 o'clock, and I thought, you know what? I better pull into this gas station and get some coolant. Now, I had never really opened the engine on this car because I've had it about a year, but I've not had to do anything to it. And it's got a transverse mounted engine. So the coolant is not at the front, you know, where the old type cars are. And I was in such a hurry that I took off the oil cap and started pouring the coolant into the engine block. So you can imagine, after about 2 pints, some sanity came to me. And I said, wait a minute, what is that? And it was dark, and I realized that I had poured the coolant into the engine block. You know, and so this was on my mind. I came into church, and maybe I try and hide things, but maybe I didn't hide it well enough. So Sister Audrey called me up. Yes, she's very like that. So she called. I didn't say what. So I had this on my mind all during, the men's thing. I was saying, my goodness, I probably ruined this engine. It's going to be $6,000-$7,000 to fix this engine. I said, well, so I had this on my mind. And she must have read my face, though. I was trying to keep it hidden. So I think it was Friday or Saturday you called me up and said, how are you doing, Pastor? And finally she got to the point. I saw your face Thursday night. And I said, really? So at first I couldn't think what it was, because the next day I prayed, I laid hands on the car and I said, Jesus, you know I need this car. And I took off from work. I had to go do the emergency oil change and flush it out and everything. And so far it's working. So I've learned to be content. But here's how I'm talking about encouragement. So she called me up Saturday and she must have read my face and started to quiz me. Pastor, you looked very serious Thursday night. What was the matter? And at first I couldn't, then I remembered what it was, and I said, well, I explained to her about the car, and so I said, thank you for calling, and you pray for me. You see, that just that little thing, you know, being noticing one another's burdens. Someone may not say anything, but if you know them, you might be able to tell their mood, and you might just be able to, not being a busybody, not being prying, but just an encouragement. How much does it cost to call someone and say, I'm praying for you? Is there anything I can pray with you about? Amen. So I just gave you a personal testimony. So we can bless someone just by encouraging them. Just by encouraging them. Anyone else think of something else that we can do to bless someone? Bible says, to whom much is given, much is required. You know, we think that we are all in need, and maybe we are. But I tell you, I did a job in Mexico, and I've told this before, and we were shipping down these big pieces of machinery, and they had boxed them up, crated them up, and when the truck pulled in, I saw this crowd of people, and this was probably 15 years ago, so maybe it's changed, but there was this crowd of people, and I thought, what are they hanging around for? This is just machinery, you know? And they started unpacking the things, and there was a lot of wooden crates, and as soon as they put the crates out, these people just fell on these pieces of crates and wood because they were using them to build shacks. So we think we are in trouble until you see someone else. There is a lot of things, if we thought about it, that we could do to bless someone else. Encouragement. I put serving others. Serving others. Is there anything I can do for you? How may we help you? You know, when you go into the bank or how may we help you? Now, they're just doing it because they've been told to say that. But if we could do that to one another, how can I help you? Is there anything I can do to serve you? Jesus gave so many examples of that, of being selfless. You may not have money, but there may be something else you can do, right? Maybe I can come and you're sick, I can bring you some food. Maybe I can babysit for you. There's lots of things that we can do to bless others. And it really helps us to be in unity. Because the Bible says that we are supposed to be what? One body. Anyone had an ingrowing toenail or anything like that? That's when you really, really understand how important that toe is. Up until then, it's like nothing. But then when you have an ingrown toenail, then like it's okay. You put, you know, you walk with it. Don't let anyone come near you. You start to guard that thing because it's so precious. It's so painful. That's how we're to treat each other. When someone is wounded, when someone is hurt, Sister Joanne. Amen. Well, Sister Lola, you served. Amen. See, she blessed her. She blessed her. Okay, the one we all know, giving. Giving. And many times, and I told you that story about, you know, we look at people and we think, well, they're just going to go buy some liquor with it or something, you know, but we never know. What we have to do is give as if it is unto the Lord. Bible says that we should entertain strangers, because some have entertained angels unawares. Amen. What other thing can we do to bless someone? Here's one. Counsel. Advice. Right? Advice. I just wish that some of the decisions I had made, someone had called me up and said, you know, I did that, and here's what happened to me. Right? Here's what I did, and this is how it turned out. You see, there's lots of things we can do to bless. Maybe you have training in a certain area that I don't. Brother Don came and blessed me. That's how I met him. He came and installed my cable and internet, and that's how we got to talk and developed a relationship. You know? So there may be something that you can do to bless others, that just with your advice. You may have a life experience that I don't have. See, all of these things don't necessarily mean money. But what they do mean is love and sharing and caring. And there's lots more we could put, but I'm going to put one that maybe you hadn't thought of, but is also a blessing. And that's to warn and admonish. If I love someone and I see them messing up, it is a blessing if I give them counsel and warn them, you know, I think this is really going south. I think this is not the direction you need to go in. That is actually a blessing to them if they listen. If they listen. I'm going to pull one more. Submission. And we'll get to that. And I call it the Beatitudes. Remember the Sermon on the Mount? The Beatitudes. Amen. Proverbs 11:24. And this is in a more modern, another translation. One person gives freely, yet gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. Think about that. That's one to meditate upon. That's what the Bible says. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. There is a general spiritual law of reciprocity, right? What you do is going to come back to you. Jesus said in the Lord's Prayer, forgive and you shall be forgiven. Be merciful that you may obtain mercy. Well, help that you may be helped. Sister Johnny? Yes, and if you see your brother in need, as I told you, I have been so blessed. I told you about the fire and how, actually he's sick right now, but that brother came up and he said, I want to be your general contractor. The house had completely burnt down, destroyed. And he said, I'd like to be your general contractor. So I didn't ask twice. I didn't question him. I said, that would be awesome. And he upfronted like $30,000, just wrote out a check to get things going, because the way insurance works, they don't give you the money instantly. And he upfronted everything, took care of everything, and was such a blessing to us. I told you I made the thing about his wife coming and cleaning our floors. That guy's a millionaire. He owned a nursing home and about 50 different properties. And it just showed me how he got blessed because of their attitude. Was such a humble. They didn't care. They had no airs and graces. And he came in, I told you, he came in one day and his wife was cleaning our floors on her knees. Now they could have paid someone to come and do that. But here's what the Bible says. A generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. When we are blessed, we're blessed to be a blessing. A blessing. We need to really meditate and think about that. You want to be blessed. The worst way is to just ask God for blessing. You want to be blessed. The best way is to start blessing someone else. That's how you would be blessed. The person who took the talent and buried it lost the talent. The person who took what he had, started using it, got double. See how the principle just works? What are you doing with the blessing you already have? You know, you've got kids, those of you who have kids, and they've still got food on their plate, and they're asking for more. What do you say to them? You see, we're so smart to tell our kids what to do. Right? We're so smart to tell our kids, okay, hey, your plate still got food on it. Could we speak that to ourselves? Does our plate have some food on it? Maybe it's not full, but it maybe isn't empty either, right? Are we seeing the message there, the model? We tell our kids, finish your plate before you get some more. But yet we're telling God, give me more, God. But we haven't finished our plate. We haven't used what he has given us. Okay, let's go back. We went through about prayer, encouragement, serving others, giving. And let's go and look at these in a little bit more detail. Peter was in prison. So what did the church do? They had no power, no means. They couldn't go to Herod and say, release him. But what could they do? They could pray. They didn't have the money to go bond him out. But what could they do? They could pray. Look what it says. Peter, therefore, was kept in prison. But prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. I'm going to give you a very important nugget when it comes to prayer that you need to remember. I didn't come up with this. It's not my invention. But when I came across it, I said, wow, hadn't thought of this before. Romans 1:9, for God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. This was Paul writing to the Roman church. I said, I'm very selfish. I have to force myself to pray, but I've trained myself now to pray because it was up to me. I can think of all the things I need spiritually that are not things I like about me, that I want God to fix. But look at the example of Job, right? He's in suffering. He's lost his family. He's sick. His friends have been not very nice to him, telling him it's your fault why you're in such a mess. And he's talking to himself and saying, if only I could talk to God, I'd demand God give me the answers. I'd demand God fix everything. So what happens? Eventually he does talk to God. Does that fix everything? Here's the shocking thing. He's got this conversation with God, and then God goes, and Job is in the same situation that he was before. It's not until what? He prays for his friends. They may have said, well, wait a minute. Look at the mess you are in. How dare you come pray for me? Do you understand? It's not about where we are. It's just being obedient to what God says. You may look at, say, I can't give nothing. I can't even pray for someone. Look at the mess I'm in. That's how I sometimes, my mental state is. But that wasn't what changed Job's situation. Even after talking directly with God and God speaking with him, nothing changed. Isn't that shocking? Because that's what he thought would make the difference. But what really made the difference is by him giving. When I'm sure he felt, I don't want to really pray for these people. Aren't there people you would really, in your flesh, just not really want to pray for? Let's be honest. Some people are smiling. I'll be honest, there's times when there's some people I just, don't really want to do this. But God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. It wasn't after talking with God even, but it was when he started to give, even when you would think he has nothing to give. He is sick. He's lost his money. His wife is telling him, curse God. He still could pray. He still could pray. And in praying for someone, think about the faith that must have taken. You know? If he looked at himself in the mirror, you know, most people will say, well, why don't you pray for yourself first before you come pray for me? I think you're in much more of a mess. But what I'm just trying to show you is you still have a blessing that you can give. God turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I have a question. What does effectual, fervent mean? Because it says, if you can do an effectual, fervent prayer, then it availeth much. Let's hear some different answers. Come on. What does effectual, fervent mean? Brother Leonardo? Okay. Anyone else? Some more? Sister Tara? Well, I agree with the put your heart into it. But I'll show you. Well, there may be some point. Sister Annie? Prayer without raving. Yes, yep. Good answer so far. Let's hear some more, Sister Brown. Okay, yes. Okay, all right. Any others? Effectual fervent. Let me give you an example where someone's prayer was said to be fervent, and maybe we can glean from that what it means. And that is the prophet Elijah, or in the New Testament, he's called Elias. James 5:17 says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. What does that mean? He had the same kind of human emotions. He got angry, he got sad. He was a human being. And he prayed earnestly. The word in the Greek is the same. And actually, fervent, effectual fervent, the word is energio, where we get the word energy. In other words, with a passion. That it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Now, it described the prayer that he prayed to make it not rain as fervent. Now, at the other end of the 3.5 years, he had to pray again to make it rain. The prayer at the front to make it not rain, all he said was, not rain. But the Bible describes that as fervent. Now, if you remember the story, at the end of the 3.5 years, he had to pray 7 times to make it rain. Yet the Bible describes the one where he just said, it's not going to rain for 3.5 years, as the fervent prayer. So that tells you it doesn't necessarily have to be a long prayer. It's just got to have this passion behind it. And let me give you the little nugget that I want you to remember about prayer that hit me. Our prayers must mean something to us if they are to mean anything to God. Think about that. If you're praying for someone and you're just going through it because someone asked you to pray for them, you're not really praying with any meaning. You understand what I'm saying? Oh, I'm praying for so-and-so because they asked me to. But you're just going through them. If you are praying, when I thought about this, I realized that every time God had answered my prayer, it was because I was desperate. I was passionate. Really, God had to come through, or else it was going to be a disaster. To use Sister Deborah's words, it's going to be a disaster. And it's those prayers, fervent. You have to care about what you're praying for. If you're just, okay, someone asked me to pray for them, so I'm going to pray for them. Let me say it again. Our prayer must mean something to us if they are to mean anything to God. I think that's a very important key to praying. If you are not really invested in what you're praying for, but just doing it because someone asked you to, why should God really take, because you're not, that's not much of a prayer, really, is it? It said that he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. But if you look it up, you'll see that it wasn't a long prayer. It wasn't a long prayer when he called down fire either. It was a very short little thing, and then suddenly fire came down. So it's not necessarily the length of prayer when we're asking for things. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't pray a long time. We can have a long conversation with God, but it can be one of worship. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I lift you. Lord, I'm so grateful. You can make that as long as you want. But if you're asking for something, it doesn't have to be long. In fact, Jesus said so. He said the Pharisees, they pray these long prayers thinking that, you know, that's how they're going to be answered. Now I'm going to give you 3 things to go along with the prayer. Brother Jesse. Right. Peace. Wow. Peace. But if you say it with passion and faith and belief, that can be an effectual, fervent prayer. In the Greek, the word is energio, with energy, with passion. That's what it means. But some of us, especially when we're praying for others, we're just doing it because that's what we know we're supposed to do. But there's no care, and there's no passion behind it. Not real, you know, as if we should pray for others as if we were, in other words, praying for ourselves. Amen. Now, if you want something to happen, pray in agreement with God's will. It's not going to happen if you're praying against God's will. 1 John 5:14 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him if we ask anything according to his will. He hears us." If you're praying according to God's will, then you can have confidence. And some time ago I taught the lesson on different levels of God's will, and the easiest one is the football analogy where you're going with the play. So if you go with the play, they've got the blockers, right? And they're going ahead of you, and they're just muscling out everyone out the way. All you have to do is follow them. You don't have to do much because that's the way they're going. Now, if you want to have a fight, decide to break the play and go off by yourself. Then you're going to have everybody piling on you. But the easiest way to get an answer is to find out, God, what is it you want? What is it you want? Then it's not even, God is going to do it. It's just whether you get in the blessing stream or not. And as I said this before, desperate prayers are effective prayers because there's energy or there's fervency behind it. And as I've put the Greek word, energy, our prayers must mean something to us if they're going to mean anything to God. Think about that next time you pray for someone. Do you really care about that person? Are you really feeling what they're going through so your prayer has passion behind it? And of course, prayer needs to be enduring. You see both sides of Elias or Elijah because at the end when he was praying for it to rain, first time he prayed, he sent his servant, didn't see nothing. Did he quit? You can pray till you get an answer. Now the answer may be no, the answer may be wait, but you can pray until you're sure of the answer. There's nothing wrong with keeping on praying until you get an answer. So he kept on praying. He sent him back until finally, I think the seventh time, I see something, some mist about the size of him, and then he knew that it was going to happen. So we see both sides of prayer there. And I'm talking about how you can bless someone in prayer. It doesn't take money. It just takes passion and love for that person or that situation that you care. You know, if it's our family, we pray hard. If we could take that same passion and put it with someone who is not our blood relative, I think that would count as because the Bible says that availeth much. Okay. Next topic, we could do blessing through encouragement. Thessalonians 5:11 says, and I'm going to have to hurry here, "Wherefore comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also we do." And in the NIV, the same scripture, to give you the feeling of it, says, "Therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing." Sister Audrey? Amen. And how expensive is this? To encourage someone? That's a blessing. You know what will happen when you start doing that? God will start saying, okay, their plate is empty. They're giving of themselves. I think they need some more. If you want to be blessed, this is all keys to blessing. We've been through 4 weeks. This is the fourth week. I'm telling you now how to use what you already got. And this doesn't cost you anything. It's a blessing. How much does it cost to give a good word? A good word. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. This was Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. That's what we got to do. Hebrews 10, 24 to 25 says, let us think of ways, and this is in the New Living Translation, says, think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect, this is very important because you're not going to get encouraged if you stay away from church. Let us not neglect our meeting together, or as in the King James, our assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. That's in a modern translation. Can you think of some way to motivate someone? I can think of lots of ways to, Sister Joanne. Right, as she said, a lot of people suffer from poor self-image. You know, my mother pretty much cured me of that for the most part. You know, but a lot of people suffer from poor self-image. And we can motivate people just by giving them a good word. So good to see you today. You know, I kind of do a bad thing, I guess. It's a bad thing. But I do sometimes tell some of the women here, you're looking good. Oh, I like that outfit. Don't hold up your hand if I've said that to you. But, and I don't mean anything other than I'm trying to encourage you. But I don't say it unless I mean it either. You know, I know some of the single women here, you know, sometimes maybe they, so, no, I'm not telling you men that's what you go around and do. That was just for Pastor. That was just for Pastor. But you can think of some other way to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. Amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? So we are here to encourage one another. Philip? He can be that person if you have no other, you know, for instance, if you were in a place where there was no church and there was not an opportunity to find like-minded, then I believe the Lord can keep you. But if you have an opportunity to assemble together with like-minded believers, the scripture says you ought to do that. So if you don't, you are outside of what scripture is saying, the will of God. So don't deliberately stay away because I have Jesus. You know, that's not what the scripture says. It says that we ought to assemble together. If I'm not at church, even before I was pastor, something felt so strange because that's what I was raised in. On a Sunday morning, I was in church. I needed to hear the worship. I needed to hear a word. I needed to hear an encouraging message, Sister Brownie. That's right. I believe that you do have to have something. You have to have a spark before you can light a fire. That is true. That's what verse 12 then goes on to say. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Okay, moving right along. We talked about through serving. Matthew 25:34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and he gave me meat. I was thirsty, and he gave me drink. I was a stranger, and he took me in. Naked, and he clothed me. I was sick, and he visited me. I was in prison, and he came unto me. You know, as I said, many times we have people walking off the street. And maybe 90% of the time, we'll never see them again. happens probably once a month or even more often, and they will either want money or food. But I don't think I've ever, I'm sure we've never refused them, not once, even if I believe that they're misusing. Now, there was one guy who came like 10 weeks in a row, and him I had to put a stop to because he was going to people personally. So I had to tell him, no, you know, you're abusing stuff. But people who have just come in, even if we never see them again, I believe that we are fulfilling what God wants us to do. That person can never bless us, but that person wasn't our blessing anyway. The blessing comes from the Lord. He's going to ask us these questions. For I was hungered and he gave me meat. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. I was a stranger and he took me in. That's why I'm so encouraging Sister Annie. She's going to start a food program here for people who are homeless and don't have any food. And we're going to be starting it this year, where we're going to try and help. Those people can never give us money. They're not going to be able to turn on the heat. But they weren't the ones anyway. God is the one. God is my sustenance. David said, he prepares a table before me in the presence of mine enemy. He anoints my head with oil. You know, sometimes we're looking for blessing from the wrong. If I'm only going to do this for them, if they can do this for me. You know, that's how we are. If someone rich and famous wants a favor, oh, we're so happy to do it. But if it's someone who can't do nothing for us, it's another story. Galatians 5:13, and this is paraphrased, through love, serve one another. Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. The word, we've corrupted that word minister. Now it means someone with a dog collar and a Bible. But that's not what it really means. It means to serve. It means to be a servant. Everybody who wants to be a minister, what you're really asking, if you're going to do it properly, is to be a servant. You are wanting to serve others. And that's a great thing. For even the Son of Man, Jesus, did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life. How far are you willing to serve? Are you willing to serve that far? You willing to go into some dangerous neighborhoods and serve? Do a prayer walk. May get robbed. May get mugged. Serving is not just behind here speaking. Really, that should be maybe 10% of the job. Serving is all the calls, the encouragement, the prayer, the visits, the other things. For I was hungered and he gave me meat. I was thirsty and he gave me drink. I was a stranger and he took me in naked. You know, when we first came here, we had at one time 3 people living with us in the little house over there, which didn't even have kitchen or anything. And I'm not complaining, for a year or two. And, you know, we tried to help them. So I know that I'm storing up blessings, and God has always paid my bill. He's not, I've never had the electricity turned off. I've not lacked for gas. He's given me daily bread. Amen. Amen. Let's go on. For God is not unrighteous to forget your labor of love which you have showed towards his name. Do you know, we don't work to get into the kingdom, but when in the kingdom, we are supposed to work. I hope you get the difference. We cannot through works get into God's kingdom, but when in the kingdom, we are expected to work. In Acts chapter 10, first Gentile believer, the reason why he was chosen, anyone know why? What does it say about Cornelius. He prayed to God, but he said, your alms have come up before me as a memorial. Think about that. I mean, whatever Cornelius was doing for the poor, whatever he could do as a centurion, he'd been trying to help people. And God took note of that, and because of that, God chose him. God could choose someone else, Do you want God to, you want God to notice you, to choose you? It's not that your works are going to be your saving, but it gave God a criteria to say, okay, Cornelius, I'm going to let you be the first Gentile. Your alms have come up before me as a memorial. We can build memorials. Amen. That won't get us in the kingdom, but if we are in the kingdom, we're supposed to build something. When they crossed over, when they crossed over the Jordan, the first thing they did, guess what they did? They built a memorial. They built a memorial. God told them, you take the stones out of this river and you build a memorial. It wasn't the building of the memorial that made them cross over, but they still had to do it. Once they got into the kingdom, they built a memorial. Do you see that? If you're in the kingdom, you can't work to get in the kingdom. When you're in the kingdom, build a memorial. Because here, it says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work. There have been times when I've been scrambling for some loose change in that car. And I said, Lord, remember the time I did this? And he always finds me a dollar or a quarter. He will not forget your work, the love you have shown him as you have helped his people and continue to help him, help them. Philippians 2:3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, which we said was the place of blessing, consider others better than yourselves. None of us are better than anyone else. We could have been born in Iran. We could have ended up, you know, learning about Muhammad. It is just but the grace and sovereign will of God that we are born in a country where we get to hear the truth, where we get to worship the King of Kings. But we should not have hatred in our hearts. We should pray that somehow the gospel, the thing that can free people of bondage to sin, will reach other people. You know, when we look at you know, just go out and just observe cars passing, all those people are souls. Those are souls. Do not think yourself better just because you know God's truth. I've got to hurry here. Through giving, we said we could bless through giving. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also. It's just another law. It's just a law. You just drop a couple seeds. Don't expect a, you know, a bushel of harvest. That's not how it works. And although we may say we have nothing, Jesus gave a parable that answers that. He said this little woman went up with her mite. And Jesus, observing, said she's given more than that rich man. Because again, the heart and the attitude that she gave it with. We can all give something. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, not because it's a rule, but do it because you understand what you're doing. For God loveth a cheerful giver. I don't want to tell that again, but I told that testimony of how I avoided that lady. And God taught me a lesson, because when I did give her the money, I saw her raise her hands and worship God. And that taught me such a powerful lesson, never to look down on anyone or think, well, they're only going to... It doesn't matter if they do or not, because you weren't giving it to them. You were giving it as unto the Lord. He's going to say, you're going to say, well, when did I do that, Lord? And he says, you did it to this one. You did it as unto me. And if we give with that we're actually... You're not giving it to the pastor. You're absolutely not. You're giving it as unto the Lord. In fact, what you're doing is you're not opening your hand so God can fill it. As I said, it's just like the plate. When you empty your plate, or then you can ask for more. God will be happy to give you. He said, press down. Like my first example, overflow. They stuff that rice in that box that it's curved. I have to pop it. Amen. That's how God wants to bless you. Amen. I'm hurrying here. Through counsel. James 3:13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. There's many times when I don't know how to give this example without using my children, so I'll try and use it judiciously. But there's many times I want them to ask me for advice because I see maybe something they're going to do, buy a car, whatever. And I could give them some advice. I could tell them a few things that would really make a difference. But I can't because they have to ask me. They have to ask me because if they don't ask me, I can't really just butt in there. And it's the same thing with God. God is just waiting to give us advice. But sometimes we do not open our hearts. We don't ask. We think we know. If I know that you're an accountant and I have an accounting problem, I'd rather go to you than go pay someone else out there. If you have a gift, God wants you to use it to help others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. What is the law of Christ? How do you fulfill the law of Christ? Love. Love. The whole summation of the law is love. Romans 15:1, we then are who are strong ought to bear the infirmities. That means the weaknesses of the weak and not to please ourselves. If it was to please ourselves, I'm sure we could all be somewhere else. Let every one of us please his neighbor for his good to edification. Now, verse 2. Can we honestly say that we do that? You see, we have a long way to go. I can say I can tell you I don't please my neighbor all the time. I try. How do we please our neighbor for his good to edification? The clue is edification. Counsel. That's what I'm talking about. That's how we can bless someone is advice. Now they may reject it. There is bad counsel too. That's why it has to be really spiritual. It has to be spiritual. Like, you wouldn't want any advice from me on, let me give you something I know nothing about, dog grooming. But maybe Sister Jessie, sorry, Sister Pam could tell you all about dog care, right? But I couldn't tell you anything about looking after dogs. So I don't think I would be the best one to come and give you any counsel on even dog food or I don't know any of them or whatever you have to do with dogs. But if you wanted counsel on computers or networks, probably Brother Josh would be even better than me. And I know that he has helped a lot of people in the church with their computers. That's good. That's a blessing. Isn't that a blessing? That's a blessing. And it doesn't always have to be prayer. It can just be advice or counsel. I know he's fixed a bunch of computers here for different ones. That's a blessing. I know Brother Cosby has fixed my son's car many times. That's a blessing because he knows how to do that. Our church van came from their church. That's a blessing. That's a blessing. Let every one of us please his neighbor instead of pleasing ourselves. I'm almost through. We're almost finished here. Last one. One we don't like. Who can take correction? You can? All right, good. I haven't had to go to too many people in this church and say anything, but I am so happy to say that the ones I have gone to, and I really had to compliment someone some time ago. They're not in here at the moment, but I had to go to them and say, I just love the way you took that. That is the true test of your Christianity. I'm a Christian till the pastor says something to me. My pastor, and he's been here before. He said things from the pulpit. Did I get mad? No. We're the best of friends. He's come and preached here every year. But I tell you what he can say, and I'm not, but he can say that I could take correction. I didn't stop paying my tithes. I didn't quit church. And we're the best of friends. Because what kind of parent would it be who never said anything to their kids? Paul loved the Thessalonians, Brother Jesse. Absolutely. You don't want to crush. Absolutely, you got to do it in love. That's why it's not everyone should correct everyone, because they can't do it in love. You know, they may mean well, but they just come off so like, you know, that's right. Here's Paul to the Thessalonians. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Comfort the feeble-minded. Support the weak. Be patient towards all men. Now, all of you have children, realize that they're all different, right? And one you could just look at, Christopher, you could just look at him and he'd do the right thing. Paul looking at him wouldn't do nothing. He'd just keep on doing what he was doing and look back at you. So there are different levels of stuff you have to do with different ones, right? So you have to be wise. And Christopher, as I said, you could just look at him and he would stop or quit. Paul wouldn't stop or quit. And you'd have to do more than just tell him once. You'd have to actually get up and go and stop him doing whatever he was doing. Paul, we've been studying the book of Ephesians, and Acts 20 was where he had called the elders on his way back from his third missionary journey. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn everyone on you. See, here's the spirit he was doing the warning. He says, with tears. It wasn't because he was mad at them or just upset. It was because he loved them. He says, I know what's going to happen, and I'm warning you guys that this is going to happen. And it sort of tore him up, because even though he was warning them, he knew still stuff was going to happen. So part of blessing is admonition, Philip. Right. So, that's why I need to come next week, because we need to say some things. The Bible says that we have to set in order, right? Amen. And I'm going to do it in love. Do it in love. Amen. Sometimes, though, it does take a rod. 1 Corinthians 4:21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod? Or in love and in the spirit of meekness? 2 Timothy 4:3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Brethren, and here it is, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, your whole goal is to restore the person, not to drive him away, in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And then again, he says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, but with all longsuffering and doctrine. Paul had to correct Peter because he showed favoritism, and he had to do it publicly because it was a public thing. Amen. Let's stand. See, if we want to be blessed, Matthew 5:3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Now, we could spend a whole Bible study just on that. But this whole month has been about getting the blessing of God. First step was obedience. Second was humility. Third was knowing God. And this fourth one is using what God has given you to bless others. Amen. I believe that as this year progresses, if we will just seek God with our whole heart, be fervent. And the one nugget I left you was pray for others the same as you pray for you. So that means it's got to mean something to you to mean something to God. Got to mean something to you. I believe God has got a plan for each of us. You're not here by accident. Jesus said, no one comes unto the Father unless the Spirit draw him. Amen. I believe God has got some great spiritual blessings. He said he's already got them stacked up. When we covered that in lesson one, they're on a spiritual shelf somewhere. All we have to do is get to the place where we can appropriate them. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe God has got something for you to do this year that can take you to the next level, that can bring you to the next grade, that can take you through and you can be a victor in whatever you're going through. God wants us to be blessed. That doesn't mean that we suddenly have no trials or tribulations, but like Paul, we can say, I have learned in whatever state I find myself thereby to be content. Let's bow our heads at this time. Lord, we just thank you for your word today. Help it to find good soil. Let it be, oh God, a word that will edify our soul. Help us to meditate upon this. We thank you for blessing us. We thank you, oh God, for seating us in spiritual places. Let your blessing go upon us. Let your face be upon us, Lord, to take us to the next level. We give you all the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. If you could give God a praise offering.